All right, folks, here we go. Another Sunday. Like I said, while the Eagles are on a break, we take no buys. We take no buys. So we continue on. And like I said, on Wednesday, we make history. We have our first ever live episode of The Look Back in front of a crowd. And, man, I know I'm excited as hell. I'm a little nervous, but I'm excited because it finally, you know, Matt and I, we've been talking about football for years. It started as a discussion when we were co-workers, and now it's going to grow into a show with people actually coming to listen to us talk.
Yeah, but, man. Yeah, and I got something else for this week, too, which I'll tell you about, but it's something that I do every year during the Eagles bye week, after the Eagles bye week.
Yeah, so. Becoming a tradition, too.
Yeah.
But obviously, we'll continue on. Like I said, there's only, as we go on to the games today, because we're getting close to kickoff, there is one unanimous pick, and it's a surprise, and it's sad. The Giants are getting destroyed go down to the Cowboys and get destroyed again. But what's crazy about this matchup is not just this matchup being a late afternoon beatdown that's going to happen. The quarterback for the Giants, his name is Tommy DeVito. Yes, his name is Tommy DeVito, straight out of Newark, New Jersey. Yeah, big dude. I'm playing for the Giants. You're going to beat the Cowboys today. No, the hell you're not. Big tough guy. Fuck out of here, man. I'm sorry. Sorry for my language. It's just too. It just tells you how bad a lot of these teams. Bad teams make bad decisions, and it's become more and more apparent. Oh yeah, by the way, your Patriot fans. It's gotten even worse. They lost on a fake spike interception by the backup quarterback.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah, I know.
But all right.
Well, in terms of this Cowboys game, though, I will say, I mean, the Cowboys are going to win, but I think this game's going to be a little bit closer than people think. I mean, what is it? The spread's like 16 points, something like that?
It's now 17.
17. I think it's now 17. I think it's going to be within – the Giants are going to be within 10. I don't think it's going to be a blowout like people think. I think it's going to be a little bit of a disappointing performance from the Cowboys. I don't think DeVito's going to.
Well,
it'd
be like a letdown game, but
yeah.
But the thing is, like I said, in the Daniel Jones games that he hasn't started, the Giants do play a tougher game. They do play tough. Now, do the Cowboys play to their strengths? We'll see. But I expect to beat down. I expect to beat down again. So, but we'll see what happens. I mean, you could see a little bit of a letdown, but remember, it is. The Giants.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Giants, but dude, it's an NFC rivalry. You know, a lot of times when people expect like a shootout or like a blowout from one side or the other, it tends to disappoint, you know? So don't be surprised if the Giants keep this within a 10-point game.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
I don't think they're just going to give up completely just because Danny DeVito's playing quarterback.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. All right, we'll do a shotgun no huddle. We have a couple games. We'll go by quickly. Arizona and the Falcons played this afternoon. Big help for the Cardinals is the return of Kyler Murray. His first game back in almost a year after tearing his knee. Obviously, they're not a really good team, but hey, they have an interesting matchup with the Falcons. Going to start Taylor Heineke again today. Critical matchup for them trying to stay in that NFC South race. If the Saints go down today, they could be back in first place. So go quickly to this matchup.
All right, there is one thing I have with this one. Obviously, the Cardinals aren't good, and Kyler Murray, this is his first game back in, what, almost a year, coming off a major injury. I mean, this isn't going to be this shouldn't be a good game. But I am going to say this, man. I've been sort of an Arthur Smith, not fan. I wouldn't say go that far. I thought he was a decent coach, good offensive coordinator when he was on the Titans. But this is do or die for him in my book, man. A lot of fans are off the Arthur Smith bandwagon. I'm still giving the guy a chance. I'll give him a chance. Okay. You haven't had good quarterbacks, you know. I understand that to a degree, But the way this guy has used his, he's got three star players on his offense, man. He's got basically, okay, let's say Pitts is coming off a big injury, so maybe he's not quite what he was yet. Maybe he's not quite back to 100%. But let's just put it like this, man. They got Drake London, Bijan Robinson, and Kyle Pitts. I mean, it's like having a Lamborghini, a Ferrari, and let's say Pitts maybe isn't quite on that level yet. Let's say a nice BMW, you know? And this guy's over here running with he's not using these guys, man. He's not getting them the ball. He's throwing Tyler Algier, getting as many carries for touches for Algier as he does for Bijan. It's like he's going for his Sunday drive in a Toyota and leaving the Lamborghini in the garage, you know? So I'm ready to give up on this guy, man. He's got Tyler Heinicke might not be a good quarterback. I shouldn't even say that. He might not be a really good starting quarterback, but he's proven that he's capable, and he's proven that as a backup, he's one of the better backups in the league. He can come in and win you games, and he can deliver the ball. And I don't want any more excuses for this guy, man. If I see another game plan today where they're giving the ball to Tyler Algier and they're not getting the ball to Drake London and Pitts, you know, he's Jonnu Smith's getting as many targets as Kyle Pitts, you know. I mean, Jonnu Smith's not a bad tight end, but come on, man. If he's running that same script again against this team, and especially if they lose, I'm jumping on the fire Arthur Smith bandwagon here. So, you know, this is do or die for me, for him. This guy, it's bordering on now complete incompetence the way he's running his offense. So, I'm still going to give it to the Falcons, but yeah, we'll see. Falcons, I'm going to say 23-16.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, obviously, I think we're going to take longer in this discussion.
The only reason is because I'm ready to jump on the fire Arthur Smith bandwagon.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty much, it is what it is. I mean, obviously, the Falcons have disappointed, but you kind of saw it. I mean, they're okay team, but they're not okay team. You know, they lost a game they really should have won last week. Now they're playing a Cardinals team that's bringing back Kyler Murray. I mean, this Falcons team, I'm gonna go with an upset today. I picked the Falcons earlier in the week, but I'm changing my pick. I'm going to go with the Cardinals. I think the Falcons got some issues. They got to get fixed. And maybe this is the game that gives them a wake-up call. So I'm going to go with the Cardinals in an upset in the final score, 25-22.
Okay. Well, if that happens, right, then yeah, I'll be trashing Arthur Smith on Wednesday.
All right. So we're going to stay on the West Coast. A big matchup here, the Commanders. I know you don't call them that, but the Commanders are out left coast. They play the Seahawks today. Seahawks lost. Had a chance as division leaders to show what they were. They didn't show well in Baltimore, but they're back home. Critical matchup here with a team that trying to stay in contention for a potential wild card spot. Only a game out, but Washington has a legit chance if they win today to stay in the playoff mix. So interesting matchup for both teams that need it. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't place this as like a rapid fire game, man. I mean, this is two teams that are actually in the playoff race. So I'm not going to quite put it in that category, even though Washington, who I'll never call them the Commanders, but I'll never call them the football team. I'll call them either the Redskins or Washington. But either way, like you said, Seattle got blown out by Baltimore last week. And Washington, you don't know what to get, what to expect with them. We have obviously seen their best, the two games against the Eagles, but they're not bad, man. They're one game behind Seattle. Sam Howell, he's second in the NFL in passing yards with 2,471. I mean, he's put up a lot of yards. They're throwing the ball a ton. He also, though, is tied for first in the NFL at interceptions with 9. So, I mean, he's hit or miss. This could be a tight game. One thing that's in Washington's favor, they're 9-3 in November under Ron Rivera. So once November hits, they play well. But for this game, that Washington pass defense is bad. Geno Smith has had some disappointing games recently. I think he's going to have a good one this week, though. And I think Seattle's going to just barely pull it out. But this is going to be a good game, I think. So I'm going to go with Seattle in a tight one, 27-26.
Well, maybe Eric Bieniemy is earning his potential head coaching wings here.
I wouldn't go that
like I
far,
said,
man. They're not that
I mean,
good.
If you're telling me that Sam Howell's thrown for the second most yards and he has, what, the fourth most touchdown passes or whatever, I mean.
Well, he's putting up stats, but they're also throwing the ball an insane amount of times, too. You know, it's like.
Well,
if
that's
you throw
a
the ball 700
offense.
Times
you should
in a
know that
season,
by now.
What's
you should
that?
Know that by now. That's how that offense works. Throwing the ball. They're not a running offense.
Yeah, but they got two good running backs. They should be pounding the ball because they don't have – let's be honest. Sam Howell might have some stats, but he's not a good quarterback. He's not anything special that they – it's not like they got Patrick Mahomes back there that they should be throwing the ball like 700-800 times a year. You know?
And here's the sad thing. I don't think Mahomes is going to do what Sam Howell's going to do to us next week. Think about that. Think about that.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest – look, Eric Bieniemy, like I said, I'm not sitting here and saying that he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, but he's helped Washington be a very good a team that's scoring points and being a contender. So, you know, they, like I said, you mentioned Ron Rivera has been strong as a Washington coach in November, and that's very important because they're going to need these victories if they have a chance at getting a wild card spot, and that's very possible. Seattle obviously needs this game, too, because they were in the division lead for the moment, but they lost it. And they don't want to lose momentum because even though the 49ers are not playing great right now, that doesn't mean that they're going to be down for a while. So they can get back today and get going again. So this is a critical matchup. And like I said, Geno Smith, he has struggled here recently. So he's got to put up some decent numbers. We'll see what they do. But I'm going to go with Seattle slightly as well. I agree with you. I think it's going to be a battle. These are two very, like I said, one of these two teams could be playing Super Wild Card Weekend. So a critical deal. I'm going to go with Seattle and the slightly and the final score 27-24.
Okay.
All right. To another two hopeful playoff teams, even though they have further, they're further down in the wild card thoughts. Yeah, see Tennessee and your Tampa Bay Bucks. Obviously, Will Levis is now the full-time starter. It was announced this week. He will be the full-time guy going forward. We'll see how that goes. Obviously, he's put up some decent numbers in his first couple of starts, but still the jury is out. Your Bucks obviously hasn't been playing good lately. Losers of four of their last five games, and they're at home today. Critical matchup. Like I said, like the Washington-Seattle matchup, these are two teams that are hopeful for the postseason, even though they're further down they're both 3-5. So, of course, if you lose today, you can pretty much kiss your playoff chances pretty much goodbye here. So, I'm not saying this is a playoff eliminator, but the road to get back into wild card contention is going to be tough for the loser. So, go ahead.
All right, well, I don't want to waste too much time on like the mediocre games because there are some good ones, but there's also some bad ones where I'm going to save some time by just throwing these scores. So this one, though, what I will say, like you said, the Bucks have lost four of their last five. They got off to a surprisingly decent start, but they've come back down to earth to what I was expecting them to be. And their defense, their pass defense is, I mean, over the last couple years, their pass defense was their weakness. They've always been good against the run. But, man, it's pretty rough right now. They got a lot of injuries. I'll give them that. But still, their pass defense is bad. They just let up 470 yards to C.J. Stroud, another rookie. This is a game where I'm putting my money where my mouth is, man. You know, when we talked on Wednesday, I threw a couple trades that I made to John to have him grade my trades. It left me with a two-quarterback league where I have on that one team with the trades I made. I got Justin Herbert is like a weekly starter no matter what. And then my second quarterback spot, I got a couple different guys. But this week, it came down to Josh Dobbs or Will Levis. And yeah, I will say if Justin Jefferson was playing, I'd probably go with Dobbs. And everybody that I've looked at, every expert, supposed expert, everybody I've talked to, everyone says, oh, go with Dobbs. I'm going with Will Levis in this game, man. I'm starting him this week. I think he's going to have a huge game. I think he's going. This is going to be his first 300-yard performance. I think he's going to throw for three touchdowns, possibly at least two. I think this is going to be a big game for Levis. That, like I said, that Bucs defense is bad. Yeah, man. I think Tennessee's going to come out and really take it to him, man. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I got Levis starting in my fantasy league, and I got Tennessee putting up over 30 today. And they're gonna have to do it by passing the ball because, like I said, the Bucks run defense is their strength, and they're gonna focus on shutting down Derrick Henry. So, but either way, Levis comes through, Titans win 31-17.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting. I mean, obviously, Levis has obviously shown that in the first two games, at least, obviously, the first matchup with Atlanta, he's their future, and you should start right away. I mean, obviously, yeah, he needed to get some reps. He needed to learn from the bench, but now you have to let him go. This is, you know, you drafted him for a reason, so obviously, we'll see what happens here. But I say your Bucks. I keep calling them your Bucks, even though you really don't care.
Yeah, they're not my Bucks. I don't give a shit about them. It's not like you and
Obviously,
your 49ers, you know?
whatever, whatever. The only difference is you live down there, so you listen to that TV and see that team and probably have lunch with one of those players. But anyway,
Yeah.
the Bucks obviously have struggled over the last several weeks, and Baker hasn't been playing well at all. Well, he hasn't been playing horrendous, but he's not playing at an elite level. So this is a critical matchup. Now, one thing you did not bring up is Tennessee has struggled on the road, and they have not had a road win this year. They've lost their last eight road games, and this is a road game for them. So give me a chance to think that, you know, Levante David and company can't get after this team. And like I said, I know they struggle against the pass, but like you said, Derrick Henry, if they can shut him down, that's a third of the offense right there. Tennessee's going to have a little difficulty trying to move, maneuver, and make plays and stuff. So, I mean, this is going to be a critical matchup. And to me, I said Tennessee could end their losing streak on the road today, but I got to think that Tampa Bay, they want to stay in this playoff race, in this division race. They need this game. Like a lot of teams around here, they don't want to lose any more ground. So this is a critical matchup, and I'm going to go with the Bucks here. I think that they pull it off here. I think it's going to be tough, but I'll give them a one score win here. You know, somebody picked this game. I think it was John or somebody picked this game as one of their betting picks. So we'll go with the Bucks, and the final score 24-23.
Yeah, John picked Tampa in this one. You know, I will say, Tennessee, they haven't been great on the road. And Will Levis, obviously, we haven't seen him much. But, you know, you look at last week, they were on the road in Pittsburgh. And I think it's blown out. Like, I seen a lot of people this week, they're like, oh, Will Levis struggled last week. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a great game. But he only struggled. He struggled in the second half. The first half of that game, he was on point. I think at halftime he was what, 11 of 14 for 153 yards. They had 13 points. They were in the lead. Yeah, they struggled in the second half, and he threw a late interception when they were trying to make a comeback. But I mean, the guy didn't play bad. He threw for almost 270 yards against one of the top pass defenses in the NFL in his second career start. So I think the guy's going to throw for 300 today.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see. All right. Now, to one of my picks, my betting picks of the week. Or no, this is not my betting pick of the week. My bad. This is not one of them. But this is a matchup I'm looking at. It's a big matchup. It's a critical matchup for both teams. Like I said, it's a lot of critical matchups around the league here today. A lot of people's playoff hopes could take a turn for the better or for the worse. And when you're looking at this matchup, it's a classic matchup. Two legendary franchises with a combined 20 championships, or at least 19, I think 19 championships. But obviously, it's critical because Green Bay and Jordan Love are coming off a big win last week. Obviously, they go on the road today. And Pittsburgh, like I said, they're a team that's 5-3, but really should be where the Patriots are when you look at what they've done, what they've given up. But their defense is still one of the best in the league. One thing is for sure about Jordan Love, he's trying to do something that his two predecessors never did, and that's obviously Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. They never won a game in Pittsburgh as a Packer quarterback. Even though the Packers don't come here very often, it's still interesting to think. So this is a critical matchup. Two teams with a lot to put through here. Critical deal. We'll see what happens here today, but let's see what happens. Go ahead.
All right. Again, I don't want to spend too much time on like the sort of mediocre games, but this is one of my picks from Wednesday, so I got to say something about it. When you look at Green Bay, I had a lot more faith in them coming in the year, but Jordan Love, really since halftime of week two, he's been bad. You know, he was really good week one. First half of week two, he was really good. And then he hasn't done anything since. Last week was his best game of the season, and he threw for 228 yards, one touchdown, zero interceptions against the Rams. And that was his first game since week two that he went without an interception. That's not very good. It was enough, but it's not very good. And he's going up against a top-notch pass defense there in Pittsburgh, by the way. And the Steelers are third in the NFL in takeaways, their defense, with 16. I think this is going to be a tough one for Love, man. I mean, I think he's got to get out of Green Bay at this point. I think he needs a change of scenery. I've never been a fan of LaFleur, their head coach. I've always thought he was a fraud. I think Love in the right situation could be good, but I just don't think Green Bay is the right spot for him. The only thing I will say that goes in Green Bay's favor somewhat, Pittsburgh, they have won, or four of their five games that they've won, they've been trailing in the fourth quarter. So, you know, maybe Green Bay can get out to an early lead and sort of hold on to it, but I don't think it's going to happen. I don't know about now, but when we talked on Wednesday, Pittsburgh was giving up three. I went with the three. I think I'm still sticking with it. Pittsburgh wins this game. Final score, I'm going to say 26-13.
Yeah, this is interesting. Obviously, these are two teams going in not really different directions, but obviously with Green Bay, like you say, you brought up some interesting points about Jordan Love so far this season. It hasn't worked as well as anybody expected. You started saying he would do better than Aaron Rodgers and his team would make the playoffs. Now that's still up for debate because neither team is doing well.
I actually said they make the playoffs, but my prediction was that he'd win more games than Aaron Rodgers. So yeah, I've already locked
that. He's already done that by default.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, if you're looking at the long term, if I was in the same betting deal, if I betted on you about that, I would say who would have the better season or the better record. And that's still up for debate as far as who could finish with the better record. Now, when you're looking at this matchup, obviously, you know, things aren't going well. Jets have a great defense. Obviously, we don't know what the Packers have for their strength at the moment. They're still figuring out what the hell they are. And we're going to see what happens here today. We'll see what happens here today. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we'll see. I mean, obviously the Steelers have been outgained by 100 yards in every game, it seems like, this year. So their offense is still kind of inevitable. So, but I think this is one of those games today where they actually show off here. I think the Packers are going to have it tough today, and I'm going to go with the Steelers. I might be a homer, but I mean, I'm not a homer because this is not my team. They're in the division, but they're not my team. But we'll see what happens here today. But I'm going to go with the Steelers as well. And the final score, maybe I'm going too high on this score, 30-20.
Okay.
All right, we're going to move to the primetime matchups because those are not as good as the other matchups. So we'll start with tonight's matchup, the Sunday night matchup. And like I said, obviously the Raiders went through a lot of changes last week. It paid off with a victory. But obviously that's one game, that's not long-term discussion, because we've seen head coaching changes in the regular season many, many times, and that has normally doesn't benefit a team in the long term. So, a critical matchup. Last week they played the Giants, and they dominated them. This week they played the other New York team, the Jets, and that tough defense. But obviously we'll see what happens here. Obviously, like I said, it's not great. Like I said, it's not a great quarterback matchup. Two guys, whatever, you know, Cardinal versus Zach Wilson. But this should be an interesting deal. Can the Raiders pull up another big victory and go above 500 for the first time this season? If I'm not they won their first game, so they're not going above 500 the first time. But can they actually go above 500? Or wait a minute, are they 4-5?
Yeah.
Are they four?
Yeah, they're
4-5. All right. Well, they can get to 500. Can he get back to 500? But it's going to be tough with this Jets defense. We'll see what happens here tonight. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, I promise I do have games here. I'm going to just give you some scores. But this one I got to talk about because this is also my lock of the week. And, you know, since I left for Thailand, I completely lost track of what my record is for locks of the week. So I'm just going to start for starting this week. Keep track.
I can look back on it and tell you down the road. I can look back on all these, you know, going back to week two. I could go back to week two, you know, let you know down. I'll let you know.
Yeah, either way, if you don't, it's not a big deal. I'll just start keeping track for the second half of the year. But either way, the Raiders are getting a point in this game. I look at the Jets, man, their offense. I mean, we knew it once Rodgers got injured. It wasn't going to be good, but it's terrible, man. They've scored 3 touchdowns in the last 4 games on offense. They've scored 8 total all year in 8 games. They're last in the NFL in third down conversion rate. They're last in the NFL in red zone touchdown conversion rate. They're a joke. Their offense is horrible. Zach Wilson is at this point, you got to just say he's a complete bust in the NFL. He's got no business starting. And they're going up against a Raiders team that's rejuvenated, man. You know, when these teams, when you have a complete goof as a head coach, like Josh McDaniels or, say, past years, I mean, even Frank Reich, when the Colts fired Frank Reich last year, Jeff Saturday came in. They played tough for a couple games, at least. When that happens, the team does get a little bit rejuvenated for at least a couple games. And Antonio Pierce, they love him, man. You look at what they've done. You look at them in the locker rooms and everything. They love playing for Antonio Pierce. This guy, when he was a player, you know, for the Giants and the Redskins. He was a leader, man. He was a passionate player that got his team fired up. And that's what he is as a head coach, man. And they're getting after it, man. And I think they're gonna be all over Zach Wilson. And I'm looking at Max Crosby. This is a guy who, again, I one of my favorite picks, day 3 picks in that draft. That was a guy I really wanted the Eagles to draft. He's second in the NFL with 9.5 sacks. This guy's a player, man. This guy's a throwback too. He's just a hard-nosed football player, man. And the one matchup I'm looking at here is Davante Adams versus Ahmad Gardner. That's the only thing interesting about this game. Obviously, Gardner came in the NFL and he's playing at a high level, one of the best cornerbacks in the league, and he's going up against one of the best receivers in the league. But nonetheless, the Raiders are getting a point. I don't care. I don't care about that point. The Raiders are winning this game outright. This is a lock. Lock it in right now. I'm not even going to watch it. It's the Raiders win this game. Final score, I'm going to say 24-10.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, yeah, you motivate, you know, and yeah, Antonio Pierce is one guy who's always had that kind of thing in him. He learned from Michael Strahan. They were teammates, and they won a Super Bowl together. And obviously, he did enough to win another championship a couple years later. Yeah, I like Antonio Pierce. He's a cool guy, and he's obviously that kind of mindset. But we've seen over the years, I mean, we've done enough NFL seasons. Changing the head coach is a risk in the regular season, during the regular season. I mean, look at last year with Jeff Saturday in Indianapolis, and he's a homer, and he's their homer. It turned out to be disastrous. Now, I'm not saying that he can't coach or it won't last, but let's be honest. I mean, the Raiders are an interesting story, you know, and, you know, like I said, they have an inept, they're an inept franchise led by an owner that is really just lives off the seat of his pants because of what his history was. His history is obviously what his dad built for that organization and what he built for him. He's the ultimate, my dad did everything for me kind of guy. And that's who Mark Davis is. I don't even look at him as the owner. I think the NFL has outside guys working to keep the Raiders running because Mark Davis is incapable of doing anything. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it is what it is. I'm not saying, like you said, the Jets offense is terrible because it was built for Aaron Rodgers and nobody else. I read this week that Carson Wentz is back in the NFL with the Rams, and he looked at the Jets, but then either he turned them down or the Jets turned them down. So,
well, what I think saw was that the Jets what I saw was that they contacted the Jets and the Jets declined.
Yeah, the Jets turned them down.
Yeah,
and to me, they're hoping that Aaron Rodgers can return. Now, that's risky because, you know, he's coming off of an injury that takes 8 months normally to recover from, and it's been almost 9 weeks since he had the surgery. So they're still hoping and praying, but the problem is they have to keep their end up. Jets are doing that defensively, but offensively, like you said, they're 30th in total defense. They're the 29th scoring offense in the league. They're 30th in total offense. They're the 29th scoring. So, yeah, it's not good. It's not good at all. But I still believe in this team for some weird reason. Not just because they beat the Eagles. It's because of that defense. And again, it is the Raiders we're talking about. I mean, they're not some juggernaut. So, at the end of the day, I'm definitely going to go against you here. I mean, yeah, this is your lock of the week. This is Kwame's intriguing matchup as well. Or is it his? No, it's one of his picks for the week. It's also one of his picks. Not his intriguing matchup, but one of his picks. But I'm going against both of y'all. I still believe in the Jets defense, and they'll find a way. They will find a way to slow down this Raiders team and do what they have to do. And like I said, Devontae Adams versus Sauce Gardner. Well, as good as Devontae Adams is, he's kind of been the anti-receiver this year. He has just not looked great at times. So I'm going to go with the Jets. I'm going to cross my fingers and hope that they win. They find a way. So going with the Jets and the final score, 17-13.
All right. Well, you know, you say that, it's a risk firing your coach in the middle of the year and, you know, it doesn't work out well. And you brought up Jeff Saturday last year. The Colts did play well for a couple of weeks before it came apart for them. And when we talk about the Raiders, just a couple of years ago, they fired their coach, John Gruden, midseason. And I forget the guy's name now, the special teams coach, Rich B, something like that. I forget.
I mean, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he came.
Yeah, it worked out. Yeah, it worked out.
It worked out pretty well. And they were too stupid to name him their actual head coach. They went out and got this nothing McDaniels. But
yeah,
I think Antonio Pierce is going to make a case for there to be their head coach going forward. And I think if they're smart, they might name him their head coach after this season for good.
Well, then again, this is the Raiders. But here's the thing. Here's the problem with the Raiders. If this guy, Rich, took them to the postseason and they still didn't keep him. Antonio Pierce has to do more than what that guy did. He has to not only make the playoffs, he has to win a playoff game. And I just don't think he's capable of doing either. I'm sorry. As much as, you know, he's a good guy and I want him to succeed, then again, this is the fucking Raiders. I'm sorry. I can't with this team. I can't with this franchise.
I don't know, They,
you know, you and I can do a better job running that bullshit franchise.
But I don't know, anyway, man, no, we, I will say though, you know, I mean, everyone knows that they're not talented enough to probably make the playoffs, let alone win a playoff game. But maybe your boy there, Mark Davis, maybe he learned his lesson with that last fiasco with Rich, and maybe this time he's actually going to be like, okay, well, this guy's got the heart of the team, and he's gonna and we're gonna make Antonio Pierce the head coach.
Yeah, and by the way, he has the worst haircut, and he has a girlfriend that's old enough to be his daughter. Yeah, sure. All right, we gotta hurry up here. I mean, we're just lollygagging there. We're going to the other matchup, the more tougher matchup on Monday night. Obviously, the Buffalo Bills are coming off another tough loss, and they're playing another primetime game here. I think this is their third consecutive primetime game, if I'm not mistaken. And they're playing the Broncos, who look like they're starting to turn this thing around here. Winners of their last two. Obviously, Russell Wilson is quietly putting together a season that's worth it. He's fourth in touchdown passes. He only has four picks. So he's doing his part. The team has to do, obviously, their part to get themselves back into contention. Like I said, they're not the worst team in the AFC, as we've seen from the Patriots here recently. So let's see how this goes tomorrow night. Big matchup here. Buffalo needs to get their ass back together if they want to make the postseason, win this division. This is a matchup that could sink them if it's over, if they don't win tomorrow night. Critical matchup here. Go ahead.
All right. Well, like I said, there are games here where I'm going to blow right through it, and this is one of them. Like I said, the Broncos are playing better, but the Bills, they're just the better team. Let's be honest. Even if they haven't been that great this year, they're much more talented, and they're playing for something too. I mean, they're right in the mix for the AFC East title, as bad as they've been playing. So I'm going with the Bills. I think they're going to be motivated. I expect a big game from Josh Allen. Final score, 33-24.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. I mean, this is a critical deal for both. Broncos have some momentum. They have played better the last couple of weeks. But obviously, it's still a debate of how good they can really be. Like I said, Buffalo's just been struggling. They just haven't looked good at all last couple of weeks. They did not look good last week. I think this game, they're going to have to struggle to try to win. And we'll see if they can stay in sync between big game Josh and Stephon Diggs. We'll see what happens. But I agree with you. I think Buffalo will win. But I think this will be a closer matchup. It's going to be a tight one. So go with Buffalo. Final score 27-23.
Okay.
And by the way, Denver is coming off of a bye, so that could give them even more of a confident possibility.
True, they come in rested. Yeah, I'll give them that.
All right, a critical matchup here coming up here as they about to start here. The Vikings obviously moving on from Kirk Cousins, but the Kirk Cousins era is pretty much said and gone because he's out for the season. Josh Jobs came in and saved the day and won the game for them last week. This week they play, Josh Jobs will get the start and could become the full-time star moving forward for the rest of this year. They play the Saints, and this is a critical matchup, obviously, for both teams trying to get to the postseason. Both are 5-4. Both would actually be in the postseason. Saints lead the NFC South. The Vikings are the third NFC wild card. So a critical matchup for both teams trying to stay where they need to stay halfway through this season with a long way to go to determine their postseason fate. This matchup could go a long way. Go ahead.
All right. I'm not going to get too crazy with this one. But, you know, like I said, I did bench Josh Dobbs for Will Levis this week, but I do think Dobbs is going to have a good game. I mean, he is second in the NFL in rushing yards for a quarterback. And he's going up against the New Orleans defense that struggles to stop quarterbacks that can run the ball. So he's got a nice matchup there. Obviously, Jefferson's out. But Minnesota does rank fifth in the NFL in rush defense. Their defense has been surprisingly pretty solid, and especially their run defense has been really good. And when you talk about the Saints and that offense, man, I got no faith in Derek Carr anymore. In fantasy, that league that I was that I made a couple trades in, I made another trade since we talked on Wednesday. I got rid of Chris Olave and a couple of my bench players, and I moved up and got well, I shouldn't say I moved up, but I got Cooper Kupp. I'm going to take the chance on him because I got zero faith in the Saints passing game, and if they can't run the ball against that Vikings D, they got zero chance to win this game. I think Josh Dobbs will have a solid performance. I don't think it's going to be as good as last week, but I think he's going to be solid. And I'm going with Minnesota. Final score, I'm going to say 23-17.
Yeah, when I look at this matchup, I mean, this is a critical one. The Saints, obviously, they are what they are. You know what they are. You know their defense isn't as good as they should be. Their offense isn't that much better. I mean, obviously, they're on the road today. I thought at first I thought this was a home game for them, but it's not. It's a road game. But the Vikings, like I said, I mean, they have played some pretty good football here in the last month. When they won their last, what, the last three or last four games. So, yeah, things are going well for the Vikings. Even though they don't have Justin Jefferson or Kirk Cousins, they're still finding ways to win games. And they keep doing that, they could be a tough out come down the stretch. So, yeah, they're at home today, and that obviously will benefit them. So I'm going to go with the Vikings here. I think they continue their pursuit, you know. And you never know. I mean, Detroit has a couple of tough games. They have a tough little stretch here. This division is not out. They're not out of this division race, you know. So I'm going to go with the Vikings and the final score 31-20.
Okay.
All right, we got to speed this up. We have four games left to predict here. Obviously, we'll go to the West Coast next. Big matchup for Detroit coming off of a bye. Big matchup. They don't have a hard schedule left, but this is one of the harder games. This Charger team trying to get over 500 and back into the wild card chase in the AFC. And obviously for the Lions, trying to continue their pursuit potentially of potentially being the one overall seed, but they trailed the Eagles by two games in the win column. But a critical matchup here, like I said, a lot to think about here, these two teams as we get closer and closer to the home stretch of this regular season. But like I said, like many matchups, critical playoff matchups. I mean, the matchups with playoff thoughts. Go ahead.
All right. Well, yeah, this one will be interesting. Detroit, like you said, it's coming off a bye. David Montgomery's back, so they got that 1-2 punch with Montgomery and Gibbs. This is actually one of my picks from Wednesday. I took Detroit, giving up three at the time. I don't know what it is now, but yeah, when you talk about Detroit's offense, they're just th this is just an all-around good team, offense and defense. But you look at their offense; they're ranked top six in the NFL in both rushing and passing. Jared Goff, he's fifth in the NFL, averaging 271.4 passing yards per game. Amon-Ra, three straight 100-yard games. I mean, overall, this Detroit offense is really good, and their defense is pretty solid too. But there is one hole in this team, and it's their red zone offense. They are just 25th in the NFL in red zone offense. So, I mean, they move the ball, they get a lot of yards, but when they get inside that 20, they don't necessarily punch it in. I think the return of David Montgomery will help a lot with that. And then the Chargers, they're just a disappointment, as they always seem to be. But this year, I'm even more disappointed in them because when we came in the season, I said how they had improved their receiving core, and I had Justin Herbert as my pick for offensive player of the year. You know, I thought he might break the passing yards record, and you know, he's had just two games of 300 yards passing. That all they get the injury, the wide receivers are injured again, and with Kellen Moore, their total offense is just they're 15th in the NFL in total offense, and their defense sucks. So this game, Detroit's gonna win this by at least two scores. I'm sorry. the Chargers just are not a good team, and they haven't been. They've always been a disappointment, and this is just another year of this shit continuing. So I'm going with Detroit here. Final score, I'm going to say 37-20.
Well, this should be interesting. These are two teams, obviously, with postseason thoughts. Yeah, the Chargers, they haven't played great this year, but again, this is typical Charger football. They play mediocre for a while, and then they try to make a run. I don't know. We'll see what happens there. With Detroit, they're coming off of a bye. This is a critical matchup. You know, they have a chance to win this game and a chance to make a run. You know, this NFC is there for them to take here. And not there to take, but they're there to potentially be the one seed. But obviously as the top two team right now behind the Eagles. We'll see what happens there. But Jared Goff, after a bye, has struggled the last several years. He has not looked good after a bye. And that's something to think about. So, I mean, you know, I agree with you. I think Detroit wins, but unlike you, I think this is going to be a tough matchup because this game is in Inglewood. So give the Chargers at least a shot here. So I think it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle today. And Detroit will find a way they'll find a way to pull it off. But I'm going to go with them. And the final score, 30-24.
Okay.
All right. Another critical matchup that just began. They're in the first quarter as we speak right now. Obviously, the Bengals, highest team in football right now, one of the highest teams in the league right now. And they're playing probably one of the higher quarterbacks, not just the top rookie quarterback, but probably one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL right now in C.J. Stroud. This is a critical matchup, and for the Bengals, sadly, they do not have T. Higgins. And, you know, Jamar Chase was at one point a game-time decision. I think he is playing. I think he is playing right now, but this is a critical matchup. It's one of my picks for the week. It is one of my picks for the week. Oh, by the way, the Detroit Chargers game is the fantasy game of the week for John. So this is a critical matchup. These two, lot to put into, lot to think about here. Cincinnati trying to win their fifth straight and continue their pursuit in the AFC North and obviously AFC standings, while the Texans try to also, like many teams, try to stay in playoff thoughts. Shockingly, go ahead.
All right. Well, yeah, last week CJ Stroud went off 470 yards, which is a rookie record, 5 touchdown passes against Tampa. He is now joined some elite company. Him and Joe Burrow are two of the 5 only quarterbacks in NFL history to throw for 2,250 yards in their first 8 games. I mean, he's putting up numbers. And Houston's on a streak here. They've won 4 of their last 6. That offense is humming. Tank Dell, I mean, they got a good offense, man. I told you back in the beginning of the year, I thought this team was way underrated. Everyone was saying, oh, they blew it. They traded up in the draft. And then who they trade with? Arizona. Arizona is going to be picking 1 and 2. I told you, this team is going to be solid, man. And they are. But their defense isn't that great, which is a little bit surprising to me with D'Amico Ryans there as the head coach. But their total defense is 24th in the NFL. Pass defense is allowing 238 yards per game. And they're going up against Joe Burrow. You know? He's healthy now. The question is, I haven't seen it. Is Jamar Chase even playing? I don't know.
I'm going to try to see here. I mean, he was a game-time decision.
Yeah.
T. Higgins is definitely out. He's not dressed today, but I don't know.
I'm just going to assume that he's playing as more of like a decoy. Either way, as we're talking, these games already started. We got a late start, so I'm not gonna be like, oh well, I saw this team score a touchdown, so I'm gonna change my pick. I'm going with my picks based upon how it was coming into these games. I think Burrow with the injuries at receiver, I think they're gonna struggle a little bit on offense, Cincinnati, and I think CJ Stroud is gonna continue this streak. I think he's gonna throw for 300 yards. maybe three touchdowns. And I'm going with Houston in the upset here. I'm going to take Houston. Final score is going to be 33-23.
Well, like I said, we'll see what happens. Obviously, these are two teams with a lot of momentum. Obviously, C.J. Stroud has been impressive. But like you said, their defense is not the best, even though that's supposed to be their strength with their head coach being a defensive guy and a great defensive mind, you know. So we'll see what happens there. But Cincinnati's been one of the highest teams in the league over the last month. They've scored the third most points, the second most first downs, and obviously Joe Burrow is doing his best. Like I said, Cincinnati could be on once again on that pace to get back to the AFC Championship. And if they do, that could be a tall tale sign of how tough it's going to be. But this is a critical matchup for both teams. Like I said, Houston is a hot team with the hot hand, the quarterback. But like I said, Joe Burrow was a great quarterback too. You know, he had a decent rookie year. You know, he put up really good numbers before he tore his knee during that season. But obviously, when he's healthy, he's as good as any quarterback in the league. So they already have a 7-0 lead. I'm going to go with the Bengals. I think they win this game. You know, I just don't agree with you. I think that they're hot. They're doing what they have to do. So Bengals win, and the final score, I'm going to say 34-23.
Okay, we got two games left in 8 minutes, so we're going to have to move.
All right, we're going to go quickly to my game of the week. Obviously, this game has already begun. The 49ers are coming off of a bye. Critical. Things have not gone well. They lose their last three, but they get Deebo back. The Jacksonville has won their last five games. Critical matchup. Go to it.
All right, well, this is your team, man, the Niners, you know, and this is a huge game for them. They haven't been impressive lately. Started off 5-0. They've lost three in a row. Jacksonville's won five straight. And this is the best we're going to see from the Niners. This is the absolute best they're going to be. Their whole team's healthy. All their key players are playing. Deebo, Ayuk, McCaffrey, Kittle, Trent Williams is in the game. I mean, they just traded for Chase Young. There's nowhere to go except down for them, man. They're not going to get any better. This is how good they are. So if they can't win this game, then there's some major problems. The Jacksonville defense, they're allowing 16.2 points per game in this five-game winning streak too. So they're playing pretty solid on D. Again, this game's already started, so I've already seen San Fran score a touchdown, and they're looking good early. But I'm making this pick based upon what I thought before this game starts. I'm going with Jacksonville with the victory in Florida. I think they pull it off. So I'm going to say final score here is going to be 30-27.
Yeah, I mean, this is a critical matchup. You can't get 49ers. Like I said, we'll see what happens today. Like I said, Brock Purdy might have been exposed, but like you said, you're absolutely right. If they don't win this game, there is issues. They may not win the NFC West. They might not even make the playoffs potentially, because I'm not saying the NFC is tough, but you know, five wins. The Eagles have eight already. So that's a lot. That's a hard climb to fall. And even though the Eagles have a tough schedule ahead of them, they're tough enough to withstand that. I don't know if the 49ers, if they play that kind of schedule, is. We'll see what happens. Jacksonville's playing really good football right now, and they're both teams are coming off of a bye, so this is critical. But I'm going to go with Jacksonville as well. I think they find a way to win this matchup, and I'll give the final score as 27-24.
Yeah, well, San Fran also has a tough schedule coming up too. It's not like their schedule's a joke. They got Seattle twice. They got the Eagles. They got Baltimore. I mean, it's not like they're playing some joke of a schedule the rest of the year.
Yeah. All right. This is Kwame's intriguing matchup. Oh, yeah, that was my game of the week, the 49ers in Jacksonville. But this is big matchup here, Baltimore. This is one of my picks, my bet picks of the week. This is Kwame's intriguing matchup. And this is a critical matchup. The top two defenses going at it. But already one of them has already made a move with Kyle Hamilton. My boy just made a pick six. So, like I said, Baltimore's rolling. Cleveland's been playing pretty good ball themselves, but it's a critical matchup because Baltimore trying to, you know, take over technically the lead in the AFC. If they win today, they'll be their eighth victory above Kansas City as they're on the break. We'll see what happens here today. Go ahead.
All right. Well, yeah, like you said, this is the top two defenses in the NFL right now. When you talk about Cleveland, man, Jim Schwartz out there has really elevated them, man. They're responsible for the three lowest total yardage in a game this year. So the three games they've had the lowest they've allowed the lowest number of yards of anybody. Their rushing offense, you know, Nick Chubb went down week two. Their rushing offense is still humming too. They're third in the NFL rushing with 144 yards per game, and Deshaun Watson's back this week too. But Baltimore, you know, they got the number two defense, and they actually have an explosive offense. One thing you can say about the Browns, their offense isn't explosive. You know, when Watson's been playing this year, he hasn't been great, but Baltimore is explosive. Lamar is the only person right now that if the season ended today, it would be between Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts for NFL MVP. He's the only candidate for MVP besides Hurts. And he's been great, man. 1,954 yards, 440, or 1,954 passing yards, 440 rushing in nine games. I mean, he could... It would take a big effort, but he could become the first quarterback ever to have 4,000 passing and 1,000 rushing in a season. I don't think it's going to happen, but still, nonetheless. Bottom line, two top-notch defenses going at it. The difference in this game is on offense. Baltimore can put up points with the best of them, and Cleveland can't. And that's what's going to be the difference here. Baltimore's going to win this game, and I'm going to put the final score here at, I'm going to say 29-20.
Yeah, I'm going to make it very quick. Baltimore's already up two scores, and it doesn't look good for the Browns early. So I'm going to go with my Ravens to go to 8-2 in the first place in the AFC and put themselves as a true contender. So I'm going to go with the Ravens, get the sweep on the Browns, and the final score, 36-14.
Okay.
So that's all we have for this episode. And like I said, join us Wednesday for the big live show. It's going to be a treat. I wish you were here, man. I wish you were there. But you will be there in spirit and on a monitor. So
yeah, right.
That's all we have for this episode. Join us for the live one. It's going to be a hell of fun.
All right, man.